today on Real Radio.
Sometimes we have a tendency to raise our kids thinking the world has been created for them. We seem as though as parents, we are here to serve our children. No, we are to raise our children up to be servants. And it's an amazing thing to realize that true biblical Christianity is all about serving others. And by serving others, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Power of Giving, Part 3, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 23. The Apostle Paul ends his epistle to the church at Philippi the way he started it, in a Roman prison. Roman guards were chained to Paul, and yet, out of pure love, he didn't waste a moment. He continued to teach and spread the gospel from his prison cell. Real biblical Christianity is not a spectator faith. True faith is about being involved as Christ was in this world. The giving of our love, energy, care, and resources are never lost or wasted in the economy of God. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the power of giving puts us nearer to one another. Together, we hold the glory of God in hand with our actions and by responding to the needs around us. When we give, we're being like Jesus and we're pleasing the Father. And now, in his lesson called The Power of Giving, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That you'd not only receive our praise and our thanks, our glory given to you today for such a gorgeous, beautiful day. But Father, that as we conclude now today the book of Philippians, a year and a half of going verse by verse, sometimes word by word through this precious love letter to the church at Philippi by your dear Apostle Paul, we pray that we'd leave this book today and put it, Lord, not only in the annals of our Bible study history, but better than that, that it would transform our lives. That the responsibility, having gone through this book, would be realized in a life of duty to the glory of God. So, Father, we pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles, turn to Philippians 4 for the last time, verses 14 to 23, in part 3 of our final installment in a message entitled The Power of Giving. The Power of Giving. We've been looking at this, and Paul ends it with his thanks and accolades to both the Philippians and to God. He started this epistle as he ends it. He's imprisoned in Rome. He's chained to two Roman guards on either side of them, each of them on four-hour shifts. After their 4 hours, they would get up and go off onto their next detail, and another set of Roman guards would come in, and that would happen around the clock. A man chained, or I should say, Roman guards chained to the Apostle Paul. Paul wasn't in prison. They were in prison. And he, no doubt, as we'll see today, shared with them to great effect. Church, the power of giving, if we think about the real Christian life is about other people. It's not about us. That's one of the great liberating factors and powers to the Christian life. The world would cause you to think that the world is all about you. Sometimes we have a tendency to raise our kids thinking, they think, the world has been created for them. We seem as though as parents, we are here to serve our children. No, we are to raise our children up to be servants. And it's an amazing thing to realize that true biblical Christianity is all about serving others. And by serving others, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Real life, real biblical Christianity, as I've said often, is a non-spectator faith. It requires of us, it demands of us, better than that, God in our hearts prompts us to get involved in the things of life. By way of introduction, Jesus said in John 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Is that a tall order or what? How much did God love us? So we're to love one another. Verse 13, "Greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down one's life for his friends. And no doubt is Jesus speaking of himself, but Jesus is speaking about all those who would come to faith in him. You and I today as believers. This is a mandate by Christ. This is a prayer request that you and I offer up to God. Lord, help me to love my fellow brother and sister in Christ more and better. And the opportunity, imagine, on a day-to-day basis to lay down our lives for the comfort and for the welfare of our husband, our wife, our spouse, our friends, our children, neighbors, strangers. And of course, in John 3:16, it's all summed up with that great verse, John 3:16. The front end of that verse is loaded with pure love. For God so loved the world that he gave, gifted, bestowed his only begotten Son. What a remarkable statement. So church, as we wrap it up, we saw in our opening throw that the power of giving puts you and I where the action is. And we saw that in verses 14 to 16, that by giving to whatever God calls us, opens our eyes up to a need, by us getting involved, it puts us right where the action is. And being a Christian in this world today is being like Jesus. Listen to what the former chaplain of the United States Senate said. This is going to sting. Peter Marshall says, "Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving." You know, he's got that right, you know, God does. The second thing we saw in our study was the power of giving puts us there before God's throne. We studied that last week, that when you and I get involved, it causes us in all that we do to be actually operating, living, and breathing before the throne of God. The reality, church, listen, by serving, By reaching out, for example, to the homeless, by reaching out to those in need in the community, by reaching out, by reading the local newspaper, finding out what has befallen someone in our community, be it death, accident, injury, fire. And you go down to the city and you ask our city personnel, how can I help this person? By getting involved in life, you're actually operating before the throne of God. Because remember, we saw that as you and I are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're bringing our offerings to the Lord in our love and our mercy and compassion. We don't offer dead animals anymore. We don't offer up things dedicated, as it were, to the temple or to the altar of burning. We make ourselves, as God decreed, the priest in a community. Husbands, you are a priest to your wife. Think of that. In offerings. And that truth puts us right before the throne of God. And so today we end verses 20 to 23. And the power of giving puts us nearer to one another. I don't know if that grammar is correct. I don't care. I like what it means. It says there that the power of giving puts us, you and I, near or nearer to one another. As believers, and we're going to see it and see the power of that. Verse 20, chapter 4. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus, says Paul. He says there again, the brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so now we enter into the final words of the apostle to the church at Philippi, and this is what's known as a doxology. It's the farewell. It's the signing off. And so the first thing that we see here in verse 20 and 22 is that it puts us near to one another this way, the power of giving, that together we hold the glory of God in hand. Together, church, listen, together. I'm not going to ask you like I normally do, are you a Christian today? I'm going to make the grand assumption you all are. One of the great indicating factors of us being believers is that we have this Holy Spirit within us, the Spirit of God at work, and he combines us. He collects us. He unites us. So together we hold the glory of God in hand. What does that mean? The hand meaning insignificance, by action, by doing. Paul is saying that his ministry life is something that is both active outside prison and inside prison. That there's nothing, as long as his mouth is moving, that can keep him from ministering. But all of it translates into an action of the hand, meaning giving out. Together as a church, we unite and we give out. We give out the word of God through radio, broadcast, TV, things like that. Together by hand, we give out food. Together by hand, we give out mercy. Listen, when our pastors respond to a hospital visitation or an accident scene or an injury, listen, you may not be there, but you are there. When we are united, we are working together. That's a church. That is a church in action, in power, in giving. And so he says here, when we think about together, we hold the glory of God in hand. Look what he says. He says, now to God our Father be glory. You ought to circle the word glory forever and ever. Amen. Then verse 21, greet every saint, all of us combined. And he's going to break that down for us in a moment. In Christ Jesus. He talks about the brethren who are with me, those that are near to Paul, those that are visiting on a daily basis there in prison. They greet you. And the front end of verse 22, he says, and all the saints greet you. Our giving brings glory and honor and praise to God. That's what Paul is announcing. And the great thing about what we're looking at is this, that when we give out from our lives as Christians, we're being like Jesus. We might pray the prayer, oh Lord, make me like you. And don't be surprised if God brings into your life an opportunity to give care, to give love, to give concern. Sometimes the most difficult, yet the most God-ordained acts of love, care, and concern is when we're called upon to minister to family members. We just think that that's routine. Have you ever, or are you now loving on someone in hospice? Maybe you're loving on an elderly uncle or aunt or mom or dad or grandma or grandpa in the name of Jesus. You say, it's so tough, Pastor Jack, they're not Christians. Well, that's why you're there. Yeah, but they, listen, true. When people are old, losing their minds in pain, they may be cursing the very hand that is taking care of their hygiene. And you might be thinking, well, I don't need to put up with this. Of course you don't. You're not doing it for you. But the moment you realize, I'm doing this for Jesus Christ, and I'm praying over my lost grandmother, my grandfather, my lost mom, or my lost dad, that's a ministry, people. That's an act of caring. And you and I can lose sight of that because of the commonality of who we're loving on. It would be easier. Isn't it always easier to love on strangers? Let's be honest. It is. Jesus said a prophet has honor everywhere he goes, except where? His own house. And Jesus said that about himself. Everybody appreciates you. But maybe brother and sister do not. Maybe mom and dad do not. Maybe grandma and grandpa do not. And yet, for Christ's sake, we are to minister to them. And so by acting that way, we are acting like the Son of God. We're acting like representatives of Jesus Christ. And that's an awesome thing. To hold the glory of God in hand means that we as Christians are practically, and I'd like to add, authentically responding to life around us. People are hurting. We all see hurt, and I'm going to lay this challenge out before all of us, starting with myself. It would be right for us to end this book today and take this away, that whenever you and I literally see some need in some person's life, that to some degree, we make a vow before God today, we will act to alleviate that need. Now, that means if we have nothing in our hands or pockets, we can say to them, listen, I have nothing to give you but Jesus Christ. I don't have any money in my pocket. I have no change. I have no money. I have no food in my car. I have got nothing with me. But I tell you what, I'm telling you right now, young man or old lady or whoever you may be, Jesus Christ loves you. And the situation of your life, listen, God didn't do this to you. The world has done this to you. And you can put your heart and your faith and your trust in Christ today. Give them something. Give them the ultimate. But if I see some need in any way, I'm to respond. In doing so, I'm taking, as it were, the glory of God in hand to minister to another person. And that's a tremendous truth. Think about what you and I possess. We need to realize how rich we are. There's a great old book, by the way. We ought to make it a book of the month. And it is by Vance Havner, if I remember right, and it's called Plain Marbles with Diamonds. And he talks about who you are and how little we live our lives in the place where we ought to be living our lives. You're a Christian. You're an ambassador. You hold the glory of God in hand. And we're to go out into the world. And Vance Havner points out that we are, with our lives, we don't come to the full expectation of what God's called us to do. We're living our life. We're like diamonds, but we're playing marbles with such things. We're not taking it seriously. Pretty remarkable. Think about what you and I possess as a believer. We possess wisdom, do we not? All the wisdom of God is available to us if we will ask. Do you need wisdom? I'm looking across this sanctuary right now. I see people that are in need of wisdom. I see a young man right here that's got a big decision to make about even our county being affected. There's politicians in this room. Wisdom is needed. There's moms and dads needing wisdom about raising their kids. According to the Word of God, we have wisdom available to us as believers. What about power? The Bible says we've got the power of the Holy Spirit available to us. Do you believe that? Jesus says, all power I give to you. You say, well, I don't see it. Well, of course you don't see it because you don't need it. But if you step out, he'll bring it. What about this? What about grace? One of the great things of the Christian life is going out and living grace upon other people. Grace, biblical grace. What about, think about the light that you and I hold, light that we bring into conversations, light that we bring into businesses or families or discussions, light. What about holiness? The Bible says, for the believer, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We've been declared holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for your Father in heaven is holy. God has declared you holy. You say, oh, I wish that was true. I hope maybe someday. No, God declares you to be holy. You hold the glory of God in hand. You're to get up and go into a culture that is dying. Ladies and gentlemen, I was born and raised in California, and the California that I was born and raised in is not the California of today. Look, don't let anybody know this. I'm going to be very brutally honest with you. If it wasn't for you, I'd be out of this state. If it wasn't for this church, I'd be gone. But then I realized California has exported lunacy to all 49 other states. So where are you going to go? All of the indicators of what's happening. Christ is coming. Look up. Your redemption draws near. Jesus is coming. And in the meantime, you and I are to be extending grace in hand and the power and the glory of God to others. You and I can distribute love. The word love is a verb. It's doing. What do we have in hand? Mercy, compassion. Look, if the world is going to see any mercy, compassion, tenderness, caring, and relief, it's going to come from God's people. Amen. Period. Verse 20 says, look at it closely. Now to God and Father be glory. The word glory is that word doxa. The word means ever-increasing honor, ever-increasing praise. Watch how we develop. Ever-increasing worship be added to him. That little four-letter word in the original Greek, doxa, means ever-increasing honor, ever-increasing praise, ever-increasing worship be added to God from our lives. The word doxology comes from compounding two Greek words, doxa, you heard the meaning of that a moment ago, and logos, words or speaking of words. So a doxology is how this book ends, and it's Paul saying that we speak the words of praise to God. And that's quite an amazing statement, because in Trinitarian doctrine, which you and I hold to, what does that mean, Trinitarian doctrine? It means that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Bible reveals. You might today say, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Correct. Neither is the word Bible found in the Bible. But there's God the Son revealed in the Bible. There's God the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father revealed in the Bible. But the Bible says one God who manifests himself in three persons. Go figure. The closest picture on earth to that statement is a family. Did you know that? A human family. Especially if there's only three of you living in the house. One address, one roof, three distinct personalities, all having the last name, and all legally having the authority. Manifested in one family name, as it were, three distinct, sovereign personalities. Glory be to God, we would say, we would sing. And in 1656, Thomas Ken wrote, and you know it, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." That's a doxology. It's a praise and worship. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink," you say, can I eat or drink to the glory of God? Yes, that's your opportunity and responsibility and joy. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do that to the glory of God. You say, what does that mean? Oh, you pray about it. You mean can I have a martini to the glory of God? Doubt it. Thank God for what you eat. Thank God for what you drink. Or whatever you do, that's a lot, is it not? Do all to the what? Glory of God. Do everything you do to bring God glory, honor, and praise. That's my big struggle. It's yours too. I'm going to confess that for you. It's our big struggle. Lisa just stole me away a week and a half ago to Monterey. It was awesome and leisurely, right? We didn't do anything. I think we got out of bed one day at like 1 o'clock. It was amazing. And even still, you walk around and it's just, God, you're amazing. I mean, we're just walking along the beach and there's otters goofing off and there's seals barking on the shore. Have you been there? You got to go there. And you go there to the glory of God. You say, how can you take a vacation like that to the glory of God? It's easy. Look at his creation. And they're all out there doing what they're designed to do. Hey, man, the animal kingdom, the kingdom's got it right. The animals, they're out there doing what they're doing. It's us. We're not doing what we're doing right for him. Little otter out there frolicking around, having a wonderful time obeying God. Then some lunatic pulls up with a net and tries to catch it. You know, what a goof. Honor, glory to him. In that verse in Corinthians, he says, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Gentiles or to the church of God. In other words, live in such a way that your life brings honor and praise to God. Isn't that neat? And glory forever and ever. What does forever and ever mean? Listen, write it down. It means forever and ever. The word means for eternity.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Power of Giving, Part 3. Thanks for listening. And as we continue to the end of our study in Philippians, its meaning is not in what we've learned, but how we now live in Christ. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, don't forget to check out our website when you get a chance. All kinds of great content is available from Pastor Jack, and you don't want to miss out on it. Check it out, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, if you remember, we recently stepped away from our normal broadcasts and brought you some special episodes based on Bible prophecy. Now, we had such an overwhelming response that we have decided to do a few special events coming up for all of our Real Radio and Sirius XM listeners. They're called the His Coming Bible Prophecy Facebook Live events. They'll be live right there on Pastor Jack's Facebook page one Wednesday night a month starting September 20th, also October 25th and November 15th. You can get to Pastor Jack's Facebook page via Facebook, or you can use the link that's provided at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Come and join us for an evening of Bible prophecy where you can even text Pastor Jack right there some live questions from your phone or your computer or anywhere you're at. So don't miss out. The events will be hosted at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. So if you want to come and join us live, you could do that. These are very special events that we wanted to do for our Real Radio and Sirius XM listeners. So don't forget to tune in September 20th, October 25th, and November 15th for Pastor Jack's His Coming Bible Prophecy events on Facebook Live. If you'd like some more info, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.